So let's get going. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, please go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. If you don't have your Bible with you today, it's going to be up on the screen so you can follow along there. Just a couple of short passages. Let's do Exodus 20 and verse 14 first. You must not commit adultery. And then down to verse 17. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. I'm calling this message today, How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage. Father, for the next few moments, I ask God that you would anoint me. Anoint me to present this truth, God, as you've laid it upon my heart. Because God, I believe that this truth is going to solidify, it's going to strengthen marriages in here today. Some marriages that are maybe struggling, God, today are going to be rejuvenated. They're going to be re-sparked in the name of Jesus. Not because of what I have said, but because of God, of what you have spoken to your people. So that's what I pray today. Anoint me in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Exodus chapter 20 lists what we know as the Ten Commandments. They're given by God to his people. Now, the first four commandments focus on our relationship with God. The last six commandments focus on our relationship to other people. The act of commandment number seven specifically talks about adultery. The act of having relations with an individual that is not your husband or wife. Commandment number 10 takes us a step further. Not only is the physical act of adultery wrong, but just thinking about it, just wanting the act is wrong. Jesus solidifies this teaching in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 when he says this, "You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery." That's commandment number 7. "But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery with her in his heart." That's commandment 10. It's coveting. The word for covet in Exodus chapter 20 literally means to pant after. Jesus himself said if we look at someone with lust, we have already committed adultery with that individual in our heart. You see, people don't wake up in the morning and say, "I think I'm just going to throw my family, my reputation, and my life down the toilet today. I think I'm just going to get up and I think I'm just going to mess my life up today." Nobody in this room gets up and says that. That's not where it starts. It starts with the look. It starts when we take our eyes off of what we have and we focus on what we don't have. That's a common theme in the last few messages of these last several weeks, if you've noticed that. This is applicable to anything in life. When we begin to take our eyes off of what God has given us and focus on what we don't have, that's where problems start. But it doesn't start with waking up and deciding to, "I think I'm just going to have an affair today." It starts when we look at how the lady in the office treats us and we say, "Boy, she treats me so much better than my wife does." It starts when we look at the guy in the gym and we look at how he's treating us, ladies, and we say, "Boy, he really understands me. My husband doesn't understand me like that guy does." It starts with a look. Nothing destroys the family faster than adultery. But there's no question that our culture now today glamorizes, defends, and even promotes adultery. Now, if this is something that's happened in your life, my goal today is not to condemn you, because that's not what God does. You know, you can't change the past. My goal is that in the future, this will maybe save you from walking that same road or that road if you've never walked it before. So please don't let this message today condemn you. But there are websites that are built that actually encourage people to have an affair. One such website uses the slogan, "Life is short, so have an affair." Years ago, Elle, a popular magazine among women, released an article that stated, "An affair can be sexually recharging, an escape from a worn-out relationship, a way into something better." Harper's Bazaar magazine said, "Women's marriages are improved by their affairs, because they get their fill of rapture elsewhere." I just want to wad those magazines up and beat the CEO over their head. We also see this promoted in television and movies. As a matter of fact, a recent study showed that 7 out of 8 sexual encounters on TV in TV dramas involve extramarital relations. We are being bombarded with lies from many different places, and they are so frequent that if we're not careful, we can begin to believe the lie that says life would be so much better if I were with that person. It's a lie. I've never met a person that said, "Pastor, I'm so thankful I had an affair. It really changed my life for the better. Life is so much better now." No, rather, I've heard things like this. I've heard, "Pastor, that affair ruined my life. That affair ruined my reputation. My kids hate me now, Pastor. It was the biggest mistake of my life. I have lost everything that is most important to me." I bet if I would ask you, every one of us in this room can name an individual that has fallen to this lie. Here's the truth. I'm not immune to this, and you're not immune to this either. The moment we think we're immune is where trouble starts. We can't do this on our own. We all know politicians that have fallen. We all know celebrities that have fallen, friends and family that have fallen, even pastors that have fallen. No one is immune to this. I encourage you this week when you go home to read the fifth chapter of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, read chapters 5-7. Here's a few verses from Proverbs chapter 5. It says, "For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave, for she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, 'How I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace.' This is the danger of adultery. It looks enticing. It looks exciting, but it leads to death. After this man's life has been ruined, he said, 'If only I had listened. For now my reputation has been forever tarnished.' This one night has ruined my life." Look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, verse 15, it says, "Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife." And verse 18, "Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth." Simply put, an affair will destroy your life. Now, the funny thing is, when it comes to stuff like this, is many people think that the rules don't apply to them. Have you ever met someone that's like that? Even though it says no parking there, "Well, the rule doesn't apply to me, so I'm going to park there anyway. The rules don't apply to me." Let me tell you something. If you are in a car and you're going 80 miles an hour and you come to a curve and the speed limit says 25, and you continue to go 80 miles an hour, whether you think that sign applies to you or not, you're going to flip your car and go in the ditch. Even if you have Christian music on the radio, you're going to flip that car and go in the ditch. Even if you have a bobblehead of Jesus on the dash and a bumper sticker that says "Honk if you love Jesus" on the bumper, you're going to flip the car. The speed limit sign is not there to restrict your fun. The speed limit sign is there as a warning to protect you. It's to keep you from danger. And that's what we're seeing here in the Word of God. God gives us direction and instruction from His Word on this because He loves us and wants to protect us because He knows that this path will ruin us. I've heard people say that they don't follow God because there's just way too many rules and they can't have any fun. Well, it's just the opposite. He puts rules, and the Ten Commandments are there to protect us, not to limit our fun. They're there to protect us. He says, "Do not commit adultery," for a reason. It's to protect us, and it's to protect the people that are closest to us, because not only will it ruin you, it'll ruin everyone else around you, your kids, your spouse. So how do you affair-proof your marriage? There are actually hundreds of things that we could have talked about today, but I have picked three nuggets that I want to give you today that I believe that if you apply these nuggets to your marriage and to your relationship, you're gonna keep your feet on the right path. So here we go. Number one, keep your relationship exclusive. Now this one is very important. This one alone could protect you against an affair. Remember Jesus said that if we look at someone with lust, that we've already committed adultery with that person in our heart? Again, this is where it starts. We have to be very careful with what we allow our eyes to see. Now, sometimes things are unavoidable. There's images all around us. There's billboards. There's TV, etc. We cannot control an image that pops up right in front of us, but we can control what happens after that. Do I turn my head or do I continue to gaze? It's my choice. In relation to the eyes, pornography has been proven to be one of the most devastating things to a relationship. When we allow ourselves to gaze upon images that are fake, and studies have shown that they are fake, they'll take a young lady and they'll doctor her up to make her look better. It's a fake image. This goes for husbands and wives, we begin to compare our spouse to something that is fake, something that is not real. We have to protect the eye gate. There's no such thing as an innocent gaze, because one gaze will lead to two and two will lead to four. That's where it starts. But keeping our marriage exclusive doesn't just pertain to the eyes. It also pertains to our words. Now hear me on this. Don't complain about your marriage to other people, especially people of the opposite sex. Guys, don't go to the lady at work and begin to complain about your marriage. Ladies, don't go to the guy wherever and start to complain about your marriage. Now, if you're talking about your marriage problems to someone to get help, the two of you, now that's totally different. Kyle and I had to get help on four different occasions when our kids were little because she had a lot of stuff that needed to be fixed, and so we had to go get some help with that. Just kidding. Lord knows I've got my share of stuff too. But here's what I did not do. I didn't go to some buddies at work crying and say, "Can you believe what my wife did? She burnt the pizza last night." You see, this is dangerous grounds, because you know what you're going to hear more often than not? You're going to hear a response from your friends that goes like this: "Are you serious? I can't believe that. You deserve so much better than that. You deserve a wife that can cook." So we take that little information from our friends and we say, yeah. And we begin to believe it. And it's where it becomes about me. We begin to tell ourselves, you know, they're right. I do deserve better. Baloney, that's a lie. The truth is, I don't deserve anything. That's the spirit of entitlement. I don't deserve anything. But let me tell you who does deserve something. My wife. My wife deserves to have a husband that is a man of his word and someone that will honor the commitment that I made before God and before her and before others. And my kids deserve to have a dad that is true to their mother. That's who deserves something. I don't deserve anything. You see, that changes our mindset a bit. Rather than how can my spouse meet my needs, it becomes how can I meet the needs of my spouse? So keep your marriage exclusive, both with your words and with your eyes. Number two, stay alert when times are good. Now, I believe this is going to be revolutionary to some of you here today. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. God says, "Ask for a rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain." Now, this is interesting. I believe, again, this is really going to help some of you, because for me, this was a revolutionary thing. God is telling us here to pray for rain in the season of the rain. Now, we don't typically pray for rain in the season of the rain. We don't typically pray for rain when it's raining. We pray for rain during a drought. We pray for rain when the situation looks hopeless. But here God says, "I want you to pray for the rain while it is raining." This would be like someone walking out into the middle of a thunderstorm and saying, "God, send the rain." We just don't see that. But God's saying, "I don't want you to wait for a drought to pray for the rain. I want you to pray for the rain while it is raining. Now, why does he ask us to do this? Because he wants us to be aware of an important truth. And that truth is that God does not want us to take him or our relationships or anything else that he gives us for granted. God says, I want you to pray for rain while it's raining. Don't think that just because it's raining now, don't think for a moment that just because times are good now, that you're going to have rain in the future. Don't take the rain for granted. One of the things I've learned in life is the fact that just because God did it before doesn't necessarily mean God's going to do it again. And sometimes we can take that for granted. We can look back on our life and say, boy, God did this here, did this here, did this here. And then we can take that for granted to say, oh, God's just going to do it again. And God doesn't want us to take him for granted. I would dare to say that if we would pray for rain, if we would be a people that would pray for rain while it is raining, as much as we pray for rain during a drought, we would never see the drought. If you read the Bible, you'll see that one of God's ways of getting his people's attention was by withholding the rain. I don't want God to withhold the rain in my life to get my attention. I want it to keep raining. Let me tell you something. The time to pray for good health is when you're healthy. Don't wait for your health to turn bad to start praying. Pray while you're healthy. While you're healthy, you pray things like, God, thank you for my good health. Continue to give me good health. Keep my body strong. Keep my heart strong. Keep my mind strong. Give me more years on this life so that I can win more people to the kingdom. He wants us to pray for financial prosperity while we are prosperous. He wants us to pray for joy while we are joyful. He wants us to pray for contentment while we are content. He wants us to pray for a good marriage while things are good. Don't wait for a drought to pop up in your marriage to begin to pray for a good marriage. Pray and ask God now. Ask for God for the rain while it is raining. You know, it's sad but true. How many good husbands are taken for granted? How many good wives are taken for granted? You see, over the years, I've seen and heard quite a bit, especially when it comes to marriage, and I've heard ladies complain about their husbands, and they say things like, he's so worthless, he's so lazy. They complain and complain, but then they split up, and all of a sudden, her world's falling apart. She's a complete mess. This is why we pray for rain while it's raining. We keep our focus on the rain. Ladies, this helps you, this mindset helps you to keep winning him as you did years ago. Because ladies, if you keep winning him like you did when you first met, you will keep on having him. You should work hard to win him as you did when you were trying to get that ring on your finger. You should keep going. All the guys are saying, amen, pastor, keep preaching. That's a good word. That's the best sermon I ever heard you preach, but now it's your turn. Guys, God wants you to do the same. And I'm speaking to myself here. This isn't something that I've got perfect. But he wants us to do the same. Remember when you were dating and you would open the doors for her? Maybe give her flowers unexpectedly? You took a bath and brushed your teeth, combed your hair, put on a little deodorant, some Brute cologne? Okay, maybe not the Brute cologne, but you know what I mean. Don't forget the wife of your youth, as we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 5. So many guys, when they get married, they stop doing the things, and even ladies do this, that they did to win their spouse in the beginning, myself included. You see, there's times I need to splash the Brute cologne back on me from time to time as well, because my wife likes Brute cologne. Just kidding. So pray for a good marriage when things are good, while it is raining. Don't wait for things to get bad in your marriage and then decide to start praying. What would happen if you prayed for your marriage when things were good? This will help us keep focused on winning our spouse just as we did during the dating years. If you wait for the drought to come up in your marriage before you begin to pray, it might be too late. And this is applicable to every area of our life. Don't take good friends for granted. Don't take your kids for granted. Don't take your job for granted. Don't take your church for granted. Don't take for granted the fact that you have the best looking pastor in the city. Just kidding, I'm trying to keep you awake. But stay alert when times are good. And then number three, the last thing, date your spouse. Now, this one is easily overlooked. In the dating years, we're very good at this. Even as newlyweds, we're pretty good at this. But then something happens over time, especially when the little kiddos come along. You see, we forget about the importance of dating our spouse. Personally, for Kyle and I, this is something that we try to do at least once a week. You have to find something that works. We actually love doing an evening date, but because our schedules are like the way they are, we can't do evening dates. So we decided to do a breakfast. Typically, Fridays were our breakfast days, and they were sacred. We go out and we would eat on Fridays, but Kyla's job now doesn't permit her to do that, and so now we've switched to Saturday, which means there's other things I can't do. But that's okay, because that's important. It's important to date your spouse. Now, there's going to be things that come up. You set a time on the calendar. It could be every week. It could be every other week. Whatever it is, you got to find something that works for you. And there's going to be sometimes that things that come up, and there's exceptions to the rules, but they're very, very rare. Very rarely do you let something interfere with this time. Very rare. Literally, something's got to be burning down, because this is a time for you and your spouse. And it's very important. You got to stay consistent. It could be a Monday night, Tuesday night, Friday night, whatever. Now, if you have small kids, this can be extremely challenging because there is a thing called money you have to deal with. After childcare and a meal and a movie or whatever it is, it gets quite expensive. And to do that every week, it's a large expense. You're broke. I struggled with the same thing when my kids were young. But then I received some advice from a pastor friend that completely changed my perspective, and it really changed my life. I'm going to share this with you. This is what he said to me. He said, I want you to rework your budget and set some money aside every week for this occasion. This may mean you go without cable. It may mean you go without a phone, but it's important. He said, here is the truth. Your kids might complain about cable and phone right now, but your kids won't be complaining about cable and phone if mom and dad separate. They won't care about any of that stuff. They would trade the house to see mom and dad back together. And if you have a parent that is split, you know what I'm talking about. He continued by saying, one day your kids will be out of the home, and if you don't stay connected to your wife, it's going to be very difficult to reestablish that connection when they're gone at that stage of life. I said, I get it, I really do, but it's so expensive. And then he said this. He said, you know what's expensive? Divorce court. It's very expensive. He said, I don't want you to think of it any longer as an expense. Your mindset's wrong. He said, I want you to view it as an investment. He said, if I would offer you today to sell you 100 shares of stock that were guaranteed to double in the next 2 months, would you buy 100 shares? I said, of course. He said, what if they were expensive and you didn't have the money in the bank? Would you make it work? And I said, of course. It's going to double in 2 months. I'd be dumb not to. And he said, that's how I want you to view this time with your spouse. Don't look at it as an expense. Look at it as an investment. And it's an investment that will only pay good yields. It's an investment. This advice changed my life. We didn't have a lot. Some nights we had to get a sitter and we just had to go for a walk. We had to go for a car ride. We had to go get an ice cream cone or something like that because we couldn't afford anything but the sitter. But then your kids get out of that season and they grow up. And then they can start staying home by themselves and you can do a little, you got a few more options at that point. Those early years, they're tough because there's just usually not enough money to go around. But you can get creative. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, this is so important to the health of our marriage. It's one of the best advice pieces I've ever received. So let's recap. Here they are again. Number one, keep your relationship exclusive. That includes your words and your eyes. Number two, stay alert when times are good. Pray for the rain during the times of the rain. Your marriage is good now. This is a time where you need to pray. Don't wait for the drought. And number three, date your spouse. Three nuggets. If we would just apply those three nuggets, imagine the difference in your marriage. It's incredible. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I just want to thank you for this message today. God, I know that there's some marriages in here today, Lord, that are struggling. I believe maybe there's some people in here that have fallen to this before. It's a lie of the enemy. But God, you don't condemn people. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But God, you do convict us by the Holy Spirit. Show us where maybe we can improve. And so God, I speak life into these people in here today, God. I just pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would solidify these marriages. Satan has gone after the family for years. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. So God, I pray today in the name of Jesus that marriages would be strengthened today. That we wouldn't just be hearers of this word and come into this place and say, oh, that's some good advice, but that we would actually go out and we would be doers of this word. That we would apply these three truths, these three simple truths to our lives to better our marriages, to make us stronger for you. In Jesus' name.